The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 399 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. Great to have you aboard. Brand new shows every Monday on the Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's another great way for you to get involved with the show. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Wild card weekend was just that, wild. We had a pair of nail biters, one in Cincinnati, one in Minnesota. We had downpours, temperatures below zero. We had bonehead game-changing penalties, critical turnovers, and a missed field goal that will be talked about for a long, long time. We had it all. I'll break down all four wild card games and look ahead to the divisional round of the playoffs. Maybe a home team will actually win a game. This weekend illustrated why we're all hooked on the NFL. You just never know. Anything, and I mean anything, can happen in any given game. There is no such thing as a lock in the postseason. Except that the Bengals will find a way to lose, of course. Sorry, is it too soon for that? Complete recaps coming up in just a minute. I also think that college football is making a big mistake when it comes to the schedule. I'll explain that a little bit later in the show. This is episode 399 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by iHome. iHome has the best products for all of your family members and friends, from the portable color-changing IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof IBN-6. iHome has all of your Bluetooth needs covered. And forget about your family and friends. How about yourself? You got to treat yourself every once in a while, right? From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome offers a full line of quality headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just for hanging out at home and relaxing. Go to iHomeAudio.com, look at all of their great products. You can check out their apps and accessories. iHome is also the number one brand in digital speakers. The sound quality is state-of-the-art. It cannot be beat. Go to iHomeAudio.com, take a look. You'll find something really cool. That is iHomeAudio.com. We start our big NFL segment in frigid Minneapolis. With the wind chill, it was minus 25. Good grief. Yet, 88-year-old Bud Grant, the former Vikings coach, a Hall of Famer, he's out on the field in a polo shirt. You have to love it. He was out there for the coin toss. The crowd was going nuts. I mean, it was terrific. Now that is tough. Right there. And when he coached the Vikings, he never allowed heaters on the sideline. Never. Bud Grant. That's a guy that you have to respect. This was the third coldest game in NFL history. It was minus 6 at kickoff. Again, minus 25 with the wind chill. What Vikings fans loved even more was seeing Seattle punter John Ryan trying to run for a first down and ending up with his face in the turf. It was Seattle's first possession. The snap was low. There was some pressure. Ryan had time to get off the punt. I think he panicked a little bit because he saw a guy flying by him, but nobody else was there. He could have got the punt off. Instead, he runs. He tries to hurdle a tackler. Don't ask me why. That was a big mistake. And he ends up doing a face plant with a bloody nose. Minnesota turned that short field into a field goal. And those were the only points of the first half. I tweeted this, by the way, over the weekend. I'm at the Sports RPT. You know that jumping over players has really gotten out of control when the punters are starting to do it. Did John Ryan think he's Carl Lewis all of a sudden? You're the punter. He's trying to jump over players. This was a slugfest. You knew that going in. Yards were going to be at a premium. The Vikings averaged 2 yards a carry with Adrian Peterson, who is the league's leading rusher. Total yards, 226 to 183 in Seattle's favor. Both quarterbacks passed for less than 150 yards. AP finished with 45 on 23 carries. He wasn't going anywhere. It was like running into a brick wall every time he got the football. Marshawn Lynch wasn't even there. He said he wasn't healthy enough to go, even though he practiced all week and Pete Carroll thought he would play. Beast mode was grounded. He never got on the plane to Minnesota. Christian Michael started, ran for 70 yards on 21 carries, 3.3 a pop. It was tough sledding for both of these offenses against two elite defenses. Not just the weather. We have to give both these defenses really a lot of credit. You look at up and down those rosters and on the defensive side, I mean, there are Pro Bowl caliber players on these two defenses. Seattle has led the league in points allowed for 4 consecutive seasons, 4 years in a row. Let's fast forward now to the third quarter. A Russell Wilson interception set up Minnesota just shy of midfield. A roughing the passer penalty on Cliff Avril put the Vikings in field goal range. Blair Walsh made a 43-yarder for a 6-0 lead. Much more on Mr. Walsh coming up. After a good defensive stand and a horse collar tackle penalty on Seattle during a punt return, Minnesota had yet another short field. The Vikings settled again for a field goal, a 47-yarder from Walsh. Now it's 9-0. And for the first time, because I don't think I was alone, I think everybody going into this game was taking the Seahawks. But when it got to 9-0, now it's a 2-score game, I'm thinking that may be enough to win this baby, given the conditions and Minnesota's defense. But, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, everything changed on one play early in the fourth quarter. Shotgun snap, gets past Wilson, looks like he's going to be sacked for a huge loss. Instead, he picks up the football, rolls to his right, and finds Tyler Lockett, the little guy, the rookie, wide open over the middle for a 35-yard gain all the way to the 4-yard line. And that play, which really was a busted play because of the snap, was the longest play all day. Talk about a classic case of a guy making something out of nothing. But that's what Russell Wilson can do. A major turn of events in the game. 2 plays later, Wilson hit Doug Baldwin for a 3-yard touchdown pass, and now we've got a ball game at 9-7. Baldwin, by the way, has had a monster season, monster year. On the ensuing drive, Peterson fumbles after a short catch. Great strip by Cam Chancellor, give him credit. They were talking on the broadcast about his sleeves. Forget about that. It's just a good strip by Chancellor, and Adrian Peterson did not protect the football properly. Had nothing to do with the sleeves. Seattle recovers at Minnesota's 40-yard line. So they're right back in business. Critical mistake by AP. The Seahawks capitalized with a go-ahead 46-yard field goal by Steven Hauschka. It's 10-9 with 8 minutes to go. From down 9-0 to up 10-9. The Vikings did not quit, though. This wasn't a UPS special. They did not mail it in. They got the football back with 1:42 left at their own 39. So they had time here. And again, all they need is a field goal to win the game. Chancellor was called for pass interference. Then he got beat by the tight end Kyle Rudolph for 24 yards down the right sideline. Rudolph rumbled all the way to the 18. Fans are going crazy. A field goal wins the game, and they are definitely in range. It's going to be a chip shot for Blair Walsh, who is a very good kicker and had made one from 47 earlier in the game. A 27-yarder is what the Vikings needed to move on and beat the two-time defending NFC champs. A 27-yarder. And by the way, Seattle had blown out Minnesota by 31 points in the regular season. But Walsh hooks it to the left with 22 seconds to go, and the Vikings lost 10-9 in a stunner. The kick wasn't even close. Not even close. I mean, it was way to the left. Never had a chance. I mean, right off the bat, you could tell. This thing was hooked. The laces, there's so much talk about the laces. The laces were facing in, and you always want the laces facing out. But it is still a 27-yard field goal. We're not talking about 47 or 57. We're talking about 27. Plus, he had made one from more than 40 earlier in this game with the laces facing him. This one was only from 27. Walsh stood up and faced the music post-game. He took the blame. He did not make excuses, to his credit. But what a gut-wrenching way for your season to end on a missed field goal from 27 yards. That is supposed to be a gimme. Wow. Walsh will probably never, ever forget that kick. During the season, he was 9-for-9 on field goals inside the 30. He was perfect. A lot of times people will say that it's not about one play because there are so many plays over the course of the game. In this case, it really was one play. Make the kick, the game is over. Instead, Seattle goes to Carolina, the number one seed, on Sunday in the divisional round. They played back in October. Exciting game. Carolina rallied for a 27-23 victory in Seattle. Cam Newton engineered two 80-yard touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. The Panthers scored 13 points in the final 4 minutes of that one. The Seahawks fell to 2-4 after that game. They went 8-2 the rest of the way, and now they're on to the divisional round of the playoffs. But no question, they got a big break in this one. The other nail biter this weekend came Saturday night. The weather in Cincinnati was terrible. It was raining so hard that A.J. McCarron could not grip the football properly. The youngster out of Alabama got the start again for the injured Andy Dalton. This was another slugfest between two teams who don't like each other a little bit. They don't like each other whatsoever. Having said that, I need to get something off my chest. And I tweeted this over the weekend as well at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT is where I'm at on Twitter. I am sick and tired of hearing about how it's up to the officials to keep games in control. Correct me if I'm wrong, but these are adults playing in the NFL, right? It's not little Johnny's Pop Warner or Pee Wee Football League. Here's a novel concept. How about these grown men act like civilized human beings? How about that for a change? All the trash talk, the cheap shots, the hits after the whistle, the pushing and shoving, the finger pointing, Odell Beckham Jr. acting like he's insane against Carolina. How about all of that garbage stops? How about grown men don't act like punks on national TV when they're getting paid millions of dollars? What went down in that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game was an utter disgrace. Never, ever confuse toughness with stupidity. And we saw some toughness, but we also saw stupidity. Unfortunately, that gets confused quite often in our society and in pro sports. And a lot of the ex-players and media bobbleheads are not willing to call out these goons. I guess they're more concerned about being best friends than being objective and actually doing the job they're supposed to do. Enough is enough. It's taken away from the game, which is sad because we all love football. Sorry, needed to vent. Little Roberts rant. As for the game, the Steelers, who everyone knew were a dangerous number six seed, led 6-0 at halftime, 15-0 after three quarters. Maybe you turned it off. Don't ask me why they went for two after Big Ben connected with Martavis Bryant for a 10-yard touchdown with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. What a grab, by the way. The way he was able to trap that ball using his legs and then do a somersault, still hold on. Unbelievable catch by Bryant. But there, you just kick the extra point. You go up 16-0. You force the Bengals to get two touchdowns and two two-point conversions just to tie. Mike Tomlin really, really confuses me sometimes with his decisions on these two-point attempts. I know he loves to do it, but man, don't you have to look at the math at some point? Go up 16-0. Anywho, they didn't get it. The Bengals still looked dead at that point until A.J. McCarron heaved a bomb deep down the right sideline to A.J. Green, their superstar receiver. Pass interference was called. The ball was spotted at the four. Jeremy Hill, we'll hear about him in a second, he took it in two plays later from the one, and we have got a game. The Bengals forced a punt. They marched 70 yards for a field goal. Now it's 15-10. 5 minutes to go. Plenty of time. Pittsburgh goes three and out. Cincinnati's back in business again with a short field. Just inside the two-minute warning, McCarron hooks up with Green on a 25-yard touchdown pass to take the lead at 16-15. 16 straight points in the fourth quarter for the Bengals with a backup at quarterback in McCarron. Unreal. It got even better for Cincinnati because Landry Jones, who was in for the injured Ben Roethlisberger, got sacked late in the third quarter and was carted off. So Jones is in. He throws a pick over the middle of the field to Vontaze Burfict with 1:36 in the clock. And that happened at Pittsburgh's 26-yard line. Now you have the lead, you have the football, and there's only 1:36 to go. Everybody is thinking this is over, Cincinnati's going to win, the drought will finally end. However, on the very next play, Hill fumbles, and the Steelers got the football back one last time. And for all the fans in Cincinnati who are saying that the officials cost your team that game, remember, the officials did not fumble the football. Hill did. He was the one who coughed it up, not any of the refs. Roethlisberger then comes out of the bullpen, and he returns to the game despite an injured right shoulder, could not throw the ball deep, you knew that, but still managed to get Pittsburgh to midfield with 22 seconds left. That's when things got really nuts. How about back-to-back 15-yard penalties on the Bengals? The first was on Burfict, who's had a reputation as a dirty player since his Arizona State days. Every scout knew this guy was a risk to take coming out of college. Everybody knew about his attitude issues. Burfict nailed a defenseless Antonio Brown in the helmet as Brown came across the middle of the field. The football was gone. Burfict lit up Brown. Now, did he do it on purpose? I don't know. I have no idea. But it's not about what he intended to do. It's about what happened, and he hit him in the helmet. And in this day and age of football, you cannot do it. Period. End of story. Brown was out cold. The trainers come out. They're looking at Brown. And for some unknown reason, Joey Porter, who is now a Steelers assistant coach, he's out on the field. Well, he gets into it with Adam Pac-Man Jones. They're joined. Jones bumps an official and gets a 15-yard penalty. 30 yards on penalties. The ball moved from the 47 to the 17-yard line. Total meltdown by Burfict and Jones. And can any of us say that we're really shocked at that? Chris Boswell makes a 35-yard field goal with 14 seconds left, and the Steelers get out of Dodge with a jaw-dropping 18-16 victory. They just own the Bengals, especially in Cincinnati. This is the risk that you take when you bring in guys with questionable character like Burfict and Pac-Man Jones. You're rolling the dice. And the Bengals left the table with their pockets empty. Another playoff loss, now 8 in a row. And I understand that the refs missed an obvious spearing penalty on Ryan Shazier. He clearly led with the crown of his helmet. By rule, that should have been a penalty. Definitely, I agree. But that does not excuse what the Bengals did late in the game. It's the old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. It makes you wonder if Marvin Lewis is too nice of a head coach, if he truly has control of that team. They picked the worst time to lose their cool. The worst. You need to be more disciplined than that. You need to keep your composure. The Bengals did not, neither did their fans. Some morons actually threw things at Roethlisberger as he was being carted off the field. I mean, what a disgrace. Maybe it was karma that Ben came back and found a way to dink and dunk his team to midfield before those two pivotal 15-yard penalties led to the field goal. But what is wrong with fans? Listen, I'm as big of a sports fan as you will ever find. I watch sports basically 24/7. I'll sneak in Game of Thrones, some other good HBO shows from time to time, like going to the movies. But pretty much, I'm sports 24/7. And yet, I was raised to know how to act. I mean, what is wrong with people? I know, you know, people drink too much, can't handle their booze. It's why I don't like to go out Thanksgiving Eve or New Year's Eve, because you got a lot of meatheads out there looking to start fights and cause trouble instead of having a good time. But what on God's green earth possesses you to throw things at an injured player who's being carted off the field? I mean, you seriously must have rocks for brains. I mean, that is just pathetic. Roethlisberger was 18 of 31, 229 yards and a touchdown. McCarron, 23 of 41, 212, a touchdown and a pick. Brown had 7 catches, 119 yards before he suffered a concussion. Even without D'Angelo Williams, Pittsburgh outrushed Cincinnati 167 to 91. The Steelers overcame 10 penalties for 142 yards. The Bengals had 8 for 79 and 4 turnovers, including 3 lost fumbles. Usually, you're not even in the football game when you turn it over 4 times. None bigger, of course, than Hill's fumble late in the fourth quarter. So Pittsburgh heads to the number one seed Denver on Sunday. The Steelers beat the Broncos 34-27 last month, but Peyton Manning did not play in that game, and it was in Pittsburgh. Playing in Denver is a different story, but I would not be stunned if the Steelers win that game. Again, you have to see who's healthy, what shape Big Ben is in, Antonio Brown. I mean, all these injuries, I got to see what's going on there before I make an official prediction. But if they're healthy, you know, they have a shot. Let's go back to the NFC here on episode 399 of the Sports Report. And you can certainly weigh in. If you don't agree with me on what happened in the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game, you can let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Check it every day. We're with you here on The Grizz and in the podcast section of iTunes every Monday. New show, grizzlyproductions.tv. Keep those 5-star reviews coming on iTunes. That helps to promote the show. Green Bay at Washington to wrap up Wild Card Weekend. Packers had not played well down the stretch. Their offensive line had a lot of trouble protecting Aaron Rodgers. They're banged up front, don't have their left tackle. And early on, it looked like nothing had changed. Preston Smith, who had a great season, sacked Rodgers for safety just 4.5 minutes into the game. Washington led 11-0, and it should have been more. DeSean Jackson eased up near the goal line and did not stretch out the football across the plane. He was very nonchalant, and despite what Joe Buck says, he has a history of doing that at the goal line. I'm not exactly sure what Joe Buck was talking about when he said how Jackson normally has a great feel, a great nose for the goal line. The exact opposite is true when it comes to DeSean Jackson. And as it turned out, he did not get into the end zone. Replays were pretty clear. Washington wound up settling for a field goal in the first quarter. That was a 4-point swing. Inexcusable. Get into the end zone. Then Dustin Hopkins misses an extra point after Kirk Cousins hit tight end Jordan Reed. How good is he? 24-yard touchdown pass, but you missed the extra point. So 5 points left out on the field. Green Bay answered right back, a touchdown drive, then a field goal, then another touchdown, and it was 17-11 Pack at halftime. The Redskins reclaimed the lead on Cousins' 3-yard touchdown run in the third quarter. This was a great play call. They spread out Green Bay's defense. Cousins walked into the end zone. After that, it was all Green Bay. And it wasn't all Rodgers as much as it was the running game that hurt Washington. Eddie Lacy had a 30-yard carry on the Packers' 11-play, 80-yard touchdown drive, which gave them a 24-18 lead in the third quarter. Then James Starks broke off a 22-yard run on a 10-play, 76-yard touchdown drive in the fourth. That made it 32-18. Both those drives took 5.5 minutes off the clock, and the Packers pulled out a 35-18 win. Credit to their offensive line. Rodgers was only sacked once. He passed for 210 and 2 scores after starting the game 1-for-8. Green Bay ran it for 141 yards, good balance, compared to just 84 for Washington. Cousins threw for 329, but it wasn't nearly enough. Packers scored the final 18 points. The up-tempo offense that they went to worked very, very well. Next up, a rematch at Arizona Saturday night. The Cardinals are the number 2 seed. They spanked Green Bay. You remember this one just a couple weeks ago. 38-8 was the final score in week 16. Rodgers was getting hit left and right in that game. As for Washington, they did not beat any teams with a winning record, but they go 9-7. They win the division. They get to the playoffs. I think that's more than anybody predicted. Plus, they're finally set now on a quarterback. The RG3 days will be over soon. They've got until March 9th to release him. He's going to be cut because his option for 2016 is $16.2 million. Cousins is the guy now, and I think Washington is headed in the right direction. Also helps to be in a bad division with a lot of turnover going on. New York will have a new head coach. Philadelphia will have a new head coach. Still work to be done in Washington. Don't get me wrong. That defense needs help as well as the offensive line. But I think overall, big picture, I think things are looking up for Washington. And finally, the Behind the Woodshed special in Houston. What a waffer this was. Nile Davis took the opening kick 106 yards to the house, and that's all Kansas City needed. It was 13-0 at the half. Could have been worse. Alex Smith missed on a deep ball that should have gone for a touchdown. On this day, it did not matter because Brian Hoyer was absolutely atrocious. 15-34, 136 yards, a career high, 4 interceptions, and a fumble. His rating was 15.9. Ugh, the Chiefs rolled 30-0. It's their first postseason win since 1994, 22 years. The Chiefs had lost 8 in a row in the playoffs. Kansas City's won 11 in a row after a 1-5 start. What an amazing turnaround. Give Andy Reid credit. Their defense dominated the Texans. On the injury front, Jadeveon Clowney was inactive due to a foot injury. Apparently, he wasn't happy about being inactive. J.J. Watt will have surgery Tuesday after aggravating a groin injury. He left the game in the third quarter. And for Kansas City, Jeremy Maclin suffered a sprained right ankle. He was carted off. He was in tears. I think that he thought he tore up his knee for a third time, but that is not the case, fortunately. Still not good news, though, with the sprained ankle. Kansas City plays Saturday afternoon at New England, and not having Maclin would be a big, big loss. They still have a great weapon at tight end in Travis Kelce, who really hurt Houston, but they need Maclin as well at that wide receiver spot. He was a big pickup in the offseason from Philadelphia. All four road teams won for the first time in the wild card round of the playoffs. I don't see all four road teams winning again this weekend. Seattle has a shot at Carolina, maybe Pittsburgh, depending on the injuries. By the way, Pac-Man Jones now claims, did you hear this story? He claims Antonio Brown was faking an injury after the hit by Burfict, and Jones says that Brown winked at them. He winked. I mean, he can't make it up. This guy is totally off of his rocker. He really is. What a joke. He said Brown deserved a Grammy Award. Again, when you bring in players like Jones and Burfict, that's the risk you run. I want your thoughts on what went down Saturday night in Cincinnati. Send the tweets to me at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. I also want to know who you like in the divisional playoff games. In the NFC, you have number 6 seed Seattle at number 1 Carolina. That's Sunday at 1:05. You have number 5 Green Bay at number 2 seed Arizona. That's Saturday night, 8:15 Eastern. Over in the AFC, Saturday, first game of the weekend, number 5 seed Kansas City at number 2 seed New England. That is a 4:35 Eastern kickoff on Saturday. And then Sunday, final game of the weekend will be number 6 seed Pittsburgh at number 1 seed Denver. That is a 4:40 Eastern kickoff on Sunday. And coming in, and you know, I don't think I was alone here, the number 6 seeds looked dangerous. Look at Seattle, a team that's got to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, won one of them. And Pittsburgh, with all the weapons that they have at the wide receiver position. So now they go to Denver. Seattle's at Carolina. That is a revenge spot for the Seahawks after they blew a fourth quarter lead against Cam Newton and company in the regular season. So tweet me your picks at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. This is episode number 399, one shy of the big 400. I'm Paul Roberts with you every Monday on the Grizz, that is grizzlyproductions.tv, and of course in the podcast section of iTunes. Let me get to college football because I think they're making a big mistake. The college football playoff executive director is a guy by the name of Bill Hancock, okay? And he says that he does not anticipate any changes being made to next season's schedule when the semifinals will once again be played on New Year's Eve. TV ratings for the semis dropped 36% from last season when these games were played on New Year's Day, not New Year's Eve. Hancock says 1 year does not make a trend. Overall, the ratings for the group of major bowl games known as the New Year's Six dropped about 13% compared to last season. Hancock believes that the plunge in the ratings was caused by more than just the change of schedule. Clemson's victory against Oklahoma, Alabama's win against Michigan State were both blowout games, at least in the second half. The ratings for the first playoff last season broke records for ESPN. I'm going to repeat, the ratings for the semis dropped 36%. When you see those numbers, how do you not change the schedule? New Year's Eve, people have things going on. Now, listen, I had to work that week, and I'm on a morning show at the radio station, so I get up 4:15, 4:30 a.m. So I wasn't going to go out. I knew going in, I was going to stay in, watch these football games. But a lot of you are going out to parties, you're going out to dinner, maybe happy hour, whatever. You're getting together with friends, having people over. You have things to do. And you know, these games are going on at the exact same time. I think it's a terrible conflict, and it should have been resolved, but they're not going to change anything. Let me also say this, and I've heard from a lot of my friends who are big sports fans. They say, Paul, this is one of the worst bowl seasons I can ever remember. It's been blowout after blowout after blowout after blowout. Very few really good bowl games this season. It has been bad. And those two semifinals. Listen, I don't have a horse in the race when it came to those games. Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, Michigan State. I just wanted to see good football games. And that is not what we got. I just want to see games come down to the fourth quarter, pressure cookers, these coaches making the big bucks, no whammies, stop. By the way, speaking of big bucks, Powerball up to $1.4 billion. Nobody hits this thing. It's unbelievable. Anywho, I like to see close games when you get to the postseason. We haven't had that. But they need to make a change. You can't be playing these semifinals. You wait all year for these games. You get to the semis, and you're on New Year's Eve when you know you got a lot of things going on. So I'd like to see them change that. Your thoughts, welcome on Twitter, at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. Sad news in the world of music. David Bowie passes away. I'm not a huge David Bowie fan, but I'll say this. I appreciate artists who are original. That's what I look for. There's so much cookie-cutter music out there now, especially when you look at the pop charts. All of it sounds the same to me. I like originality. I like people that are different, and David Bowie was definitely that, and he will be missed. Again, send me your thoughts about the NFL playoffs and the college football playoff schedule on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the games. I'll talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode number 399 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.